Church.
Hello? There it is. Hey, so how was everybody's week? I started a new route this week, and man, it's going to be good. On Tuesday, I called Chris, and I texted Chris. He was at school, and I said, well, I'm heading home. It was like 11:30. And she's like, I'm jealous. And, you know, Wednesday wasn't too bad. Actually, I had to work Monday, which was no fun. I'm too old to work 6 days a week, but whatever. And then I kind of made up for it yesterday because I knew I needed to be here by 2:30-ish. And they didn't. Normally, I have a helper on Saturdays, but they had moved him somewhere else because somebody else was off. And so the fat old guy was stuck with like 13 pallets of product yesterday to work. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, I was at Kroger in Mount Gilead, and I'm pulling a pallet around the corner, and somebody else was coming with another pallet. So I tried to stop the pallet real quick, and it ran across my foot. Full pallet of 12 packs, which I don't know what that weighs. I'm not good with liquid to weight conversions. But it hurt. I did not take my sock and shoe off because I was scared that there was a couple digits just laying in my sock. So I wanted to wait till I got home. There's no sense saving them at that point. I left Mount Vernon at like 1:45-ish. I texted Chris and I said, just be ready. I'm going to be home. I'll run through, change my clothes real quick, and we'll get over to the church. And my foot was still throbbing at that point. I got over here, and it was just a total blessing yesterday, like Jamie's already kind of went into. But I wanted to publicly thank anybody that had a part in helping with that. Because you are doing God's work at that point. And, you know, you may think, well, it's just I went and bought some brownies or I went and cooked some or baked some cookies or whatever. But you were a difference yesterday to a family that needed you to be a difference yesterday. What a joyous thing it was. I didn't realize Charlotte's family was so big, but I got to talk with some people that I haven't talked to in a long time. And the one young man that Charlotte always spoke of was Lauren Campbell. And I coached Lauren in junior high football, and I don't know how old Lauren is. Anybody know? He's 20. He's 29, 30, something like that. So this was a few years ago. I coached him in junior high football, and I walked up to him yesterday, and he said, well, hello, Coach Wiseman. And I was like, oh, man, you make me feel old. But I got to put a face with the name, or a name with the boy that was the preemie baby, and then Charlie, the new one, and he has three sons, and they're all really cool. But the middle one is the one that was born at 24 weeks, and dude's just a spry young fella, and he's just getting around. In fact, he's getting around so well he broke his leg. Really cool to see, and I'm so thankful that it worked out. But I did go home last night and tenderly pulled my sock off, and I want to report that I have all five toes. I lost the toenail on one. It was pretty gruesome. But then this morning I woke up, and I have three toes at the bottom of them are just solid purple. I don't know. Don't know why. God had his hand on me yesterday, and all I got was a bruised foot out of it, so I'm pretty lucky, and I thank him for that I was able to come and take part in that and see our church make a difference to a family, and it was pretty cool. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know the message you want me to present. I know the message you want, the words you want me to say. But Lord, I ask you just once again to just take me out of the equation. Just make me your puppet or make me your mouthpiece for what you want to be brought out. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this congregation and the people and their willingness to go out and show your love daily, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So I titled the message, The time is now, I think. The time has come. And I don't know many of you knew Charlie Kirk, listened to Charlie Kirk. I listened to him a lot. I think he was a great Christian thinker that was out just spreading the word of God to people that needed to hear it. And those of you that don't know, he had an organization, and they would go out to different liberal colleges throughout the nation, and he would just go out and have basically debates with some young people that felt the need to come and debate Christianity with him. And my wife, it makes her crazy, because that's some of my TikToks are just nothing but Charlie Kirk talking and going back and forth with some of these people. And she's like, how do you listen to those people? So I'm not really listening to those people. I'm laughing at those people, because some of these thoughts and some of the beliefs that are out there in the world are just crazy. Just crazy. So this guy was just out speaking God's word. And I'm going to play a video. Well, actually, I'm going to go to my first passage first, and I'll play the video next. But I saw somewhere, I'm a numbers guy, I'm a stats guy. So Charlie Kirk died at 12:23, okay? He was pronounced dead at 12:23. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, I wonder what kind of passages there are that are in chapter 12, verse 23. And I was like, I don't know. So I looked, and in Matthew, there's a neat passage, and you know, and I'm talking about in the Gospels. But I went to John. This is my favorite one, and I think this is kind of fitting for where he ended up. So we're in John chapter 12, starting in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Verse 25, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must also follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." And while I'm not claiming that Charlie Kirk was the second coming of Jesus Christ, Charlie Kirk was just a guy out here doing Jesus' work. And I thought this was pretty fitting, and I'm not into coincidences, but I thought it was fitting that when I looked up 12:23, it said, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And when Charlie Kirk died, there's been kind of a revolution around this. You know, I'm a sports guy, so I always, on my social media feed, I once a day I get this thing, the revolution has begun, or the whatever has begun, and it's these football teams: Oregon, Texas, Texas Tech, Ohio State, Michigan. 120 kids come out of the tunnel at Ohio State last week for a night game, and the first thing they did when they came out of the tunnel, they didn't go to the sideline and hoop and holler. They went and they lined up 10, 15 wide across every yard line. They knelt in prayer. And I can go on. There's 15, 20 teams that do this. Now, some of it might be for show, But you know, if we would just get in the habit of making that our daily ritual as soon as we start our day, like these young people are, even if our heart's not in it, even if we're doing it for maybe not the right reason to begin with, when it becomes a habit, we're going to show growth. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And then his wife is taking up the banner and moving forward. And listen, I'm probably not going to follow her. I mean, I'll watch a few videos, but it's kind of like replacing the greatest president in the world. You don't want to be the guy that replaces the next Hall of Famer. I don't want to be the guy that replaces Charlie Kirk. Because he did God's work and died for it. Not that I'm afraid of dying. But I don't feel like I can compare to what he went through at that point. And this passage right here just hits home for me. Because unless one grain of wheat falls into the crack and dies, there will be no fruit. It remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I think we're going to see the United States of America is going to become less scared about sharing their faith. Because people are up in arms. People are up in arms. So that's just a neat passage I went to. Then I was scrolling again. I found this video. I want to have Julie play it if we can. Just a pretty cool video. I'm into young people, and I'm into guys that are sharing their faith and getting excited about sharing their faith, and that's kind of where this video stems from. This is Bryce Crawford. He's an evangelist.
The greatest act and evidence that God loves you is that He has first loved you first. I mean, what you're bringing to the table is nothing in comparison to what God has on the table. I mean, if you read Mark chapter 4, what does that guy have to bring? He has 5,000 demons inside of that guy. Like, what does that guy bring to the table? 5,000 demons? And Jesus does what? Sets him free. It doesn't matter the baggage you have, the sin you have, the shame you have. It really doesn't matter what you did last night. The grace of God, this free gift that God is giving you and me, empowers us to leave that lifestyle. So what's the difference? If you already hate your life, then why wouldn't you give your life to Jesus? If you already hate the junk that you're doing, why wouldn't you give it to Jesus? You've got absolutely nothing to lose.
We have absolutely nothing to lose. And somebody posted, I think it was maybe Tina Kunkel posted something this week, and it said, you know, don't condemn me because of my belief in Jesus Christ. If you don't agree with me, don't believe in it. But what do I have to lose by believing and living my life in a way that Jesus Christ wants me to live? What do I have to lose? It doesn't affect you. And it kind of hit home. But then I saw this video, and this guy is like, man, it hit home with me. Because if I don't like what I'm doing, how do I fix it? Well, I got to turn and go another way. Right there is the way I'm choosing to go. Right there is the way I'm choosing to go. And, you know, you can agree with me, you cannot agree with me, but I think that is the way I'm going to go. I implore you to follow me there, and let's go to the cross for everything. But the time has come, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, and we've all heard this passage. We know this passage. It's a parable that Jesus told the people. But I want us to really think about this as Christians, how we are the sower, how we are the sower of the seed. Let's go right into it. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat it on the sea. and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen." And I want you to note that listen has an exclamation point after it. Jesus was like, "Listen to me. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "And he who has ears to hear, let him listen." Guys, understand, we are that sower. You know, our job is to go out and sow seeds of Christianity and sow seeds of Jesus and our faith out into this world. And there's going to be times when we sow seed on ground that's not quite ready. So that seed probably isn't going to take hold and dig a deep root and produce then, right? So we think. But the difference in the soil is, what do we have to do? And Larry, you'll have to help me. Skylar's not here, so Larry, you've got more experience than him anyway. What do you have to do to prepare the ground to be ready to put the seed in the ground? Larry left. Anybody else ever a farmer? Dwayne! How much work goes into the soil before it's ready to be sown with seed? Please tell me you don't no-till. But there's a lot of work, right? There's a lot of preparation. You have to prepare the ground. You have to get rid of the rocks. You have to get rid of all the hard junk on top so that when we put that seed into the ground, it goes into the soil. It grows into the soil and gets some depth. And when we just put seed, if I put seed down here on the concrete, it's never going to grow. Although, unless you cover it up with soil. Although, do you ever wonder how I've got a concrete sidewalk? And I always wonder, because I get weeds that grow in my concrete cuts. And I'm like, where do those weeds come from? My wife, she always has an answer. Her claim is her landscaping would have no weeds if I didn't have to mow the yard. Because she claims that I throw grass into the landscaping. She's wrong, by the way. But that sidewalk, that grass growing in the sidewalk just proves to me how important it is for us to sow seed no matter where we're at in our life. Because that weed is growing through the concrete. Now, it's not an abundance of weed, and it never produces fruit because I rip it out every time I see it. Okay, but we have to go out and sow the seed of Christianity and sow the seed of Jesus. Now, are we always going to be the guy that's there to reap the harvest? No. You know, there's times when it just takes longer for that seed to take root. But our job, why I titled this "The Time Has Come," is we got to get off our duffs and get out there and spread the seed. Because we have to plant the seed to everybody we come across. And the young people and I talked about today in Sunday school, and I'm just going to read where we were today. We started this book a year ago or so, and we're only on topic number 5, if that tells you anything. But there are 5 common reasons that Christians doubt their salvation. Reason number 1 is fluctuating feelings. Sometimes we just don't feel like we belong, right? The truth of that is, following Christ involves learning to live by what God said is true, which is faith, not by what seems to be true, which is our feelings. Because sometimes, man, my feelings get hurt and I'm just crushed. But I know by my faith that God still got it. So that's reason number 1, debunked. Reason number 2 that Christians doubt their salvation are struggles in life. And I asked the question back there, and listen, these kids got it going, because I asked the question, anybody else have struggles in life? And they're like, nope. I'm like, good. But struggles in life, because what does that do? Man, it lets doubt creep in. Man, it lets everything creep in. And guys, I'm here to tell you, we have the ultimate example of how to live our life, because Jesus came and lived here for 32, 33 years, unblemished by sin. Was his life struggle-free? No, I'm going to tell you why. He was surrounded by a bunch of nincompoops. Those disciples were morons, right? Did those disciples ever ring a bell or make you think of somebody else? They do me. I feel like I could be any one of those 12 at any given time, because I am a dummy. But I think when push comes to shove, I'll usually do the right thing. Okay? But I'm a dummy most of the time. So Jesus' life was not without struggles. He provided us the example of how to live, because he surrounded himself with people that weren't worthy of being in Jesus' presence. Sound familiar? We're not worthy of being in Jesus' presence. Understand that grace is a gift that Jesus gives us. It's not something we can earn. It's not a reward. It's not a grand prize for doing a great job. It is a gift. And I told Delaney, if I give you a gift for your birthday, it may be something you don't like, but understand, it's a gift, that there's a reason I gave it to you. And I gave it with a full heart and all that. But there are gifts in our life that we try to earn. Guys, we're not going to earn the gift of grace. We're not going to earn it. So don't let your struggles in life be a reason to doubt your salvation. Number 3, this is a big one, falling back into sin and old habits, and we all do this. You know, if there's anybody here that doesn't fall back into old sins and old habits, you might as well leave now, or come up here and preach, one of the two. Because, man, I do this. I fall into habits. And that's what's been so neat for me about this Sunday school group is there's days when I don't want to come. You know, there's days when I'd rather catch that extra 45 minutes of sleep in the morning. And I know the kids are the same way. The young people are the same way. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, we're all here, and I hope we all get something out of it. And that's a habit we're creating. It's a habit. It's a very important habit we're creating to keep us out of old habits. Number 4, attacks by the evil one. These always happen. As long as mankind walks the earth, the devil is going to be at work. And even when you're a brand new Christian and you're high on Jesus and you think, man, there's nothing going to stop me, that's when the devil is going to go to work. When you're ignoring your Christianity and you're not doing anything with your faith, devil doesn't have to work on you. Okay? The devil doesn't have to work on you. Because you're not doing anything with it. You're not sowing that seed. And then number five, and this is a big one, losing sight of grace. And this is what came up with the gift idea. We sometimes try to rationalize grace. Here's the way I want you to rationalize it. It's a gift that God gave you. Use it. We don't deserve it. We're not going to earn it. I don't care how many good things you do in your life. You're not going to earn the right to God's grace. He gave it to you freely. That's pretty cool. Because like I said, we're all kind of a bunch of bozos, like those disciples. And that's why I thought it was so cool the way Jesus chose his disciples, because, you know, if Jesus came to like the Pepsi salesman and the Coke salesman and 7-Up salesman and said, "Hey, I want you guys to pick up your stuff and follow me," man, there's stuff that goes on in those back rooms that you don't want to know about. I don't want Jesus there, but I know he's there. You know, those guys were out fishing in a boat, and he said, "Hey, throw your nets aside and come follow me." Now, I'm at a point with my computer and Coca-Cola, I'd be like, "Okay, give this to whoever. I'm going. Let's go, Jesus." Right? Let's go. Because I don't like change. So if I'm going to change, I'm going to change for that. You know, I started this new route, and I didn't change anything. I believe my job is to go in and build a relationship with every store that I have. That's how I'm relationship-driven. That's just the way it is. Because I know if I do a good job for them and they have their trust in me, that I'll get what I need to get as far as display space and whatever, because they trust me and they like the job I do. So I go in, I try to build a relationship with everybody I come in contact with. And I'm not here to slam PepsiCo, but you know how PepsiCo builds their relationships? They go in, they write an order for 17 pallets when they already have 13 pallets, and they just keep ordering stuff. That seems silly to me. They just keep throwing seed after seed after seed, and they're never getting to the fruit that first group of seed. They're never getting it out onto the sales floor to produce any fruit. It's just sitting in the back being stagnant. And again, I'm not here to slam Pepsi. They have Mountain Dew, so they can do whatever they want. I'm just being honest. Right? But the parable of the sower. So let's go to a different type of soil. If we don't tear out the thorns, and for me it's thistles, right? In my pasture, I took my mower out there because I was just tired of looking at these 6-foot thistles. And man, I went through a mower belt and blades because I tore my mower up. Because those thistles, some of them were that big around. And it busted my mower belt. But now I brought the sheep up. I got 5 or 6 sheep on the pasture. Guess what they're not touching? The thistles. The cows don't eat it. I'll tell you what will eat them. Goats. Goats will eat anything. If you're a goat raiser, I'm sorry, but they'll eat anything. But the thistle and the thorn, if we don't get rid of that, we're never going to grow fruit producing beans, corn, pasture, whatever, because that thistle is the aggressor and it will take over. And that thorn will just take over. Okay? So even though the seed might take hold where there's thistle, it's going to get choked up. And that's like these young Christians, right? They're so fired up, they're so ready to go that they just start growing, and they start growing up. But then the troubles of the world hit them, and the troubles of the world come, and they don't have any depth. and they're not ready for that yet, so the thorn takes over. But our job as the farmers or as the harvesters is to continue sowing seed in that situation. Because as we've learned, we grow through situations. The rocky ground. It doesn't have a lot of soil. These are the brand new Christians. We just throw Christians out there. And sometimes as churches, we're terrible about this. We have to be better, people. We have to do a better job with our young Christians because we baptize them and then we just kind of say, babe, go get them. Jesus is on your side. That's my young Christian right there. But so they get fired up. They do this. Then the sun comes out and it withers them because they're not ready. They're not ready. But then we go to the good soil that we've done all the preparation with. We've spent time with these people. We've invested our energy. We've invested scripture. We've got them into habits. So now they're ready for us to sow this seed, right? And this seed pops up, and you know what it does? It just grows. We water it a little bit. We fertilize it a little bit. We spray it for weeds and thorns a little bit. And we invest more time into it. And then at the end, what do we have? We have Christians that are deep-rooted, that have done and seen things, that have watched other people fail, that have watched other people succeed. And now all of a sudden, they're centered around that cross, and they can't fail. Jesus uses people like that are pushed, that are developed, that somebody has invested some time into and helped them along the way. I hate to think where I would be without the people in my life when I was a youngster and a teen and a young adult, and now for this matter. You know, I draw a lot of example off of Les. Les has been through a lot. I see myself going through some of the things I go through, and I can imagine Les in his younger years going through the same stupid stuff I've went through, because I've heard some of Les's testimony. And I know it's not always easy. But man, when I ran my toe over yesterday, I wanted to throw something and kick something. Not kick, because that would have hurt even more. I wanted to lose my mind. And 20 years ago, I would have. I would have lost my mind. But you know what I did? I said, Matt, that was pretty stupid. And I moved on. God, thank you for not letting it run over my ankle, because I'd be in the hospital. I don't know what a pallet of pop weighs, but it's a lot. And here's the bad thing. The person that came around the corner had a little cart with two empty boxes of cardboard on it, so they could have stopped real easy. Here I am stopping a full pallet of pop, and they had a little 20-pound cart. But they didn't stop. They just kept going right on through. Oh, funny. But we have to sow the seeds, and I'm so thankful for the people in my life that have sown those seeds, because I see growth in myself through the grace of Jesus Christ. Not anything I do. Because my flesh, my worldly self, wanted to just walk away and yell out a bunch of stuff. But because somebody has invested time and effort, and Jesus has invested time and effort into me, I didn't do that. I shook it off and got back to work because I knew I had somewhere I got to be. I want us to do that with our Christianity. I want us to live our Christianity like we know we got somewhere to be. And guys, we know we got somewhere to be. Charlie Kirk knew it. Charlie Kirk's there. Charlotte knew it. Charlotte's there. We have to trust our faith and trust that that grace that we don't deserve will always be there. We got to start living by God's grace and our faith out there. It's easy when we're in here. We got to go out there. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in being the harvester. You know, I see what Skylar's going through now, working 13, 14, 16-hour days, harvesting stuff. I don't want any part of that. Right? I'm at a point in my life where I want to, I'm in my job profession, I want to go and I want to put my 8 hours in, I want to go home. But as being the harvester is a big job. And we have help to do that. Right there. Jesus is going to come again. I don't know when. That's not why I titled this, The Time Has Come. The time has come for us to get out there and show it. We have a job to do. Other than our worldly job, we have a job to do with our Christianity. We got to go out there and be the sower. We may not be the harvester, but we got to go out there and be the sower. And we got to invest our time, our effort, our energy, our love, our God into people out in the community. So as we close today, that's my challenge to us as a church. And we've listened. I don't know, Les said something yesterday during the proceeding that said, has it been 6 years? And I don't know. 6 years. I understand why the church is half empty today, because they knew I was on the agenda. Because after 6 years, you got to be wondering what we're doing. But spiritually, financially, we are able to be out in the community and help. So I think this is still God's plan. We pray over this every day. God, if your plan is a full-time pastor for us, show us who, show us how, show us where and when. Unfortunately, I think God right now is saying, nope, they're still stuck with you two. But it's because it's given us the freedoms to go out and do things out there that we've never, ever been able to do as a church before. Now we, as individuals in that church that can do stuff, we need to go out there and look for ways that we can help. And if you come up against a situation where, you know, if you come up in a situation in your life that you know that, man, if only I had $500 to help these people, come talk to us. Come talk to us. Because we can do that. Money's easy. The time investment is what is the hard part. But we have to make the time investment. And that's where all you come in. The financial part's easy. We carry the checkbook around. I'll write a check to anybody. I don't care. It's not my money. Okay? It's not my money. We are not hoarding this money. We are trying to use it in different spaces in the community to make a difference. And we hardly ever tell anybody no. So if you have a need that comes up, if you have a situation that you know somebody out in your community, in your ring of community needs help, please come to us. Because we can for sure do that. We are a blessed church. We have to go out and show it. And the easy part's writing a check. The hard part's putting ourselves out there as individuals. Go out and do it because of faith and because of God's grace. And go out and show people what you're all about. That's my challenge to you this week. Live every day like Charlie Kirk lived. Live every day like Jesus lived. Don't have any regrets at the end of the day. Don't leave anything on the table.
Go out and water God's plants. Go out and fertilize God's plants. Go out and sow that first seed. You don't know what it's going to fall on, but go out and do it anyway. That's our job. That's our responsibility. I'm going to close in prayer, and then if the praise team will be here, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you don't know that faith or that grace we're talking about today, and you want to know more about it, Les and I will be here. We'd love to talk to you about it. We do have a lot of prayer needs in this church. They're listed in the bulletin, some of them. Some of them you don't know. But God knows what they are. God knows what they are. We have to pray for our church daily. Make that a habit. Because people can feel you praying for them. Two positive notes I will note. Alex Watterson did get home this week. The details of that, what it looks like in the future, we don't know yet. But just keep him in prayer. And also, Jackson did get his ship-out date for boot camp. It's October 27th, I believe, right? Is that correct? Yeah. October 27th, I think, is what he told us this morning, or Brittany told us. So that's an answer to prayer, because he's just been in limbo. He's ready to go. He's ready to get going. He's tired of going to drill and just sitting around for 8 or 10 hours. He's ready to start being a productive member. So he is ready. He's in a good place, and he got his date, so praise God for that. There's a lot of other things going on. Pray for Sarah. She's in a lot of pain. You know, she told, and I'm sure I'm allowed to share this, but she told Chris Thursday, "I just wish I could crawl up in a corner and die." How much pain she's in. So pray for her. She needs our prayers for sure. There's a lot of people. Keep Charlotte's family in prayer, and Olivia and Shannon as they navigate through that now. But God's at work. God's at work. We have a job to do inside of God's plan. Let's get out and do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, number one, we thank you for your grace. We know that we don't deserve it. We know that we fall short. We know that we do not deserve your grace. But you give that gift freely, and you give it to every one of us, Lord. We love you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, just all the prayer needs we have inside this congregation and out in this community, Lord, we just lift those all up to you. You know all of them. I don't know all of them, but you know each and every one individually, Lord. I just ask your hand on each situation that we lift up to you today, Lord. Lord, just be with Sarah as she's going through it, and just continue to push her, develop her, and let her see the light at the end of the tunnel, Lord. And, Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.